Hello and welcome to the next episode of Research VR, where we dig deep beyond the realms of virtual reality. Right now we are at Hanover in Germany at the Hackvention. And here we have a lot of interesting companies and a lot of interesting people gathered together from the whole field of VR. And today, beyond Krzysztof Zdebski, the usual co-host, and me, Peter Lekov. Hi, Chris.
Hi, hi.
We have two great guests, Nicole and Dominic. Hi.
Hey there.
Hi, nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you. We actually met quite often on different events, and Dominic is from NVIDIA, and Nicole is from XMG, right?
Right.
So maybe you could quickly give an overview to our audio listeners, what you're doing and what's your background?
Sure. Ladies first.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Nicole from XMG. I'm marketing manager for a company, VR marketing manager, especially, and we're a company specialized in high-performance hardware, computer hardware, laptops, desktops, all configurable, just like the customers want to have them. And we also launched a XMG Walker, a backpack, the first backpack PC on the market just 3 months ago. And that's, yeah, what I'm presenting when I'm traveling around through Europe.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Dominic. I'm from NVIDIA. I'm the head of virtual reality for Europe and a couple of other regions. And I'm a huge virtual reality enthusiast, so I'm actually quite happy to be talking to you guys about, I think, some future topics about VR, yeah. Some cool stuff that's going to be wireless, I think. Mm-hmm. And my background is I'm coming from the games industry, so I worked at a publishing house doing magazines and websites. Then I switched to Rockstar Games. And working at Rockstar Games, I got into virtual reality, not through Rockstar Games, I have to say that. So big disclaimer before I get sued. Rockstar Games wasn't the reason why I went into VR. It was actually just general interest. So I saw the Kickstarter video, and ever since that, I've been a huge VR enthusiast. And now, after doing my own VR startup called Realities.io in Silicon Valley, I'm now heading up the European VR business for NVIDIA.
That's quite impressive.
Thanks, man.
I mean, what's very interesting is that the backtop that we have already discussed a few times on this podcast, and we also have the video with Azad, where we have the mixed reality at Upload with him, is combining the XMG technology and the NVIDIA GPU, right? It's a 1070 inside.
Yep.
And it doesn't yet have the capability of being wireless, although it removes the need of the Vive to be connected to a PC, right? It's a whole backpack you have on your back. It has everything on top of batteries, right?
Yes, it's a fully integrated system. Mm-hmm. And of course, since we had the new generation of NVIDIA graphics cards, the 10th generation of graphics cards, we were able to produce and to manufacture the Walker because the GPUs have been gone much smaller, much more performant, much less in energy, or they need less energy than before. And with this new performance, we were able to come up with a 1070 in a backpack PC on a mobile platform. So it's a very strong system, an i7 6700HQ also built in, and the system can be completely used as a normal PC, plus it has the attachment with the backpack stripes. And you guys have tried it a couple times, and it just makes you gets you more immersed in the VR experience.
Disclaimer, you have been the first one who actually managed to sell us a backpack.
Definitely, yes.
So that's why we have it. First comes, first serves.
Yes.
Tell me how you're using the thing. Like, what's your day-to-day application for a backpack like that?
Our day-to-day application for backpacks start from the medical applications that we are developing. So at Virtual Spice, we have two lines that we are following. On the one hand, we have production planning, and on the other hand, we have therapy for chronic pains management. So when you have a chronic back pain, it's actually very hard to dance around the cable. We had those situations where people just didn't want to go for experience, or they were limited because the cable is around their leg. And if you have a back pain, untangling this cable is a very difficult topic.
Especially adults are much more aware of the cable.
Yes.
Kids are not like that. Kids would just step over the cable. Yeah. They don't care at all. But adults would always think of this cable and be drawn back into reality and not really getting super immersed in the experience itself.
I've never thought about it this way. Like not even if you're going to the elderly, I probably an elderly person that has a cable around his, they are very much aware of tripping over anything. So every time they're stepping down some stairs, they are afraid of falling. Yes. That's a constant fear for the elderly. So not having that cable there is actually super useful.
Especially when you have like chronic back pains or some kind of stroke, you sometimes cannot really lift your legs very well. And then the cable becomes even a bigger issue.
Yeah.
Like we experienced it when we have been to Silicon Valley. We showed it to Dave, who had recently a stroke and he's fighting awesomely for it and really managing well to, you know, improve his health. But he had like really problems to, you know, get the leg up over
to
the
lift
table.
The food.
Yeah.
To just flip the cable around like experts
exactly.
do. When you watch a VR expert usually with a cable, they kind of kick the cable away. They even do Space Pirate Trainer where they jump left and right. And they really rarely actually rip out the cables. But still, if you have a person that's not as flexible.
Yeah,
not as flexible.
And it's also multi-user. For me, it's kind of the vision that an engineer who I'm basically doing, you know, software for can have his workstation with a backpack, let's say, yes, it's powerful enough, like yours or any others, just connected to that, you know, on the PC, on the docking station, you work on it. And when you decide to use VR, because I don't think people will use VR 24/7.
Yeah.
But at some point, they might, you know, want to try it out. How does it look in VR? Okay, I have to, you know, play it around, test myself the factory or designing room. And you just throw it on your back and you walk around.
Mm-hmm.
Or you take your backpack and go into a meeting room and you just have many people there and you have a huge virtual space.
Yeah.
Because one cable is not a problem. Maybe even two cables. We tried it with hover jumpers, right?
Yeah.
But when you have 5, 6, 8 people, well, it's tough.
I just talked to Raymond from Daimler. Actually, they are having the exact same application where there's multiple people walking around a virtual car for proper product visualization. And yeah, then if you're walking around the car, you can easily imagine how the cables are entangling themselves with only two persons.
It doesn't really help that somebody is walking behind you and carrying you on a leash. Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
It wouldn't help at all.
Yeah, I love the fact that there's...
But that's what we're trying for our next generation of Walker, that you can have it as a complete normal desktop with an external power supply. And using it with an external power supply is now not possible and when you want to switch directly to the mobile version, because then you would have to restart the system because there's just one power in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we are kind of wanting.
Well, it's coming.
The next generation.
Let me be the devil's advocate. There is right now a company that announced wireless transmission for the HTC Vive. We kind of saw that Oculus is working with a Crystal Bay on a prototype that has a whole GPU and CPU inbuilt.
Santa Cruz.
Crystal Bay is...
Yeah, it's Santa Cruz, yes. They have so weird names.
They have a lot of weird names.
Yes. Even more, there is microwave or millimeter wave stuff that came out where the antennas kind of, you know, get the direction of it. So there's like a lot of news those days about wireless transmission for VR. What do you think? Is it the future, near future?
It should be, right?
But then your backpack is obsolete.
Which wouldn't be a huge problem. I mean, we're not a company that is only manufacturing backpack PCs, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're mainly focusing on laptops and on PC manufacturing systems. Or manufacturing system.
But you're not the only company doing backpacks, right?
Absolutely. And there's also other competitors.
Exactly. But the thing is, like, okay, if one company would do a backpack and then, you know, just drop it, I would be okay. Well, they kind of didn't thought about it. But when there's so much competition, they kind of have to know technology. I mean, those are engineers. And they would usually be aware that this whole wireless thing is maybe not as ready as everyone is promising, right?
Yeah, let me continue. I don't think that, for instance, the TP-Cast that you mentioned, it will probably be possible to be wireless, not connected to any PC in a very short distance. You know, when the PC is somewhere close to you, maybe like meter, 2 meter, 3 meters away from you. But if you want to really go into large scale tracking systems, into entire buildings that are tracked due to cool large scale tracking solutions, then you definitely need to have the system close to you, because then there's no chance that any wireless connection will be as sustainable or as strongly connected for the entire data volume that is being transferred.
It's also a very hard problem to solve. So wireless transmission, you have to weigh between two options. Either you go for a very low visual quality, so you have a lot of compression, or you go the other way and have a very, very high bandwidth link between the base station and the actual receiver on the headset. And that is actually one of the catches of the TP-Cast, is that you need a direct line of sight from the receiver to the thing that's mounted on your head. The receiver. So the base station and the receiver need a direct line of sight.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they're optical, but because they're working at a frequency that is very, very receptive to any disturbances.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you only get your hand or your head in between the station and the receiver, The wireless doesn't work as good anymore.
So this sounds like a tracking system with just one tracking point.
Exactly. And this is like a contradiction to me for my vision for VR. Like, you know, okay, one cable, I told you, okay, you can manage. But if you have more people.
Yep.
Correct.
Multi-user is not going to work in a scenario like that, because then you have people randomly walking into the line of sight of the individual users, and what do you do then?
Okay, you could mount
it on top. You can have multiple systems, but the thing is, we don't know anything about TPCast right now.
Exactly.
There's like one video where a guy is playing the game.
And there's no certification out yet.
Certification.
For the world market.
So there's it's
maybe it's not good for your health at all.
It sounds good.
I don't want to sound racist.
I don't want to have a microwave for my
exactly.
head.
I do. I don't want to sound racist, guys. But they released it in China. And China is very famous for having less regulation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
true. Who do you tell this?
You know? So maybe it's just very strong bandwidth that they're using. That's not maybe that healthy. I don't know.
It's supposedly running on a 60 gigahertz band.
Whoa.
60 gigahertz. That's why it's so susceptible to any blockage in between. Because at those wavelengths, the actual waves isn't going through any material as good as, for example, the 2.4 gigahertz. The longer the wavelength is, the easier it is for the radiation to go through walls, to go through. Mm-hmm. Just like your Wi-Fi is running on 2.4 gigahertz, mm-hmm. and that goes through a couple of walls, but then it's over. But the frequency that TPCast supposedly is using is very much susceptible to any blockage. So we will see. We got one on order. We're gonna get our hands on one of those things from China somehow.
I would be surprised if you wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, it's super interesting for me on a personal level, and also of course, NVIDIA needs to be on top of any kind of developments in that direction.
Do you have some insights that you can, you know, indirectly share with us?
Of course, I can give you all the information that's gonna be driving our stock price even further. No, I can only talk about things that we openly discuss.
Sure,
of course.
Sure.
But in terms of wireless, it's definitely super interesting for us, because me personally, and also NVIDIA as a company, thinks that there will always be a use case for I think there's always going to be a use case for a tethered device, because at some point you're not driving a full HD display over wireless, but you're going to go 4K, 8K, 16K, and then the problems are really going there.
The data volume is even bigger.
It's going exponential. So the more data you're putting through that channel, you're going to get more and more problems. So I think that if you want to drive like a 16K display that everyone's dreaming of like 5 years down the line, you have to have a cable, because otherwise you won't even be able to drive that display at the high visual fidelity that it offers.
Yeah, so we somehow can manage right now the resolution we have, but we want anyway more resolution, since it will be kind of obsolete in half a year, right?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
What about the heat produced by the energy consumption? Can that be also a problem?
I mean, you know, the wireless HDMI transmitter we are using with the Walker, which
really
is also an external thing that gets hot, and that's not the best solution at all. So we are trying to mount this wireless HDMI receiver and sender on the main board now, because there is no chance that we can use this forever with this with that solution. But that's getting hot, so this other thing should get hot as well.
And there's,
but I it's mean, probably just getting hot due to sorry for the due to the charging thing. I think that is the thing.
But if you put it on the main board, you can actually connect it to your cooling system,
right?
And when it's on the outside,
that's something different. Absolutely, in the inside. There's no problem. That's something that our product management will definitely find a way to.
No doubts.
I don't think so, that there's any doubt, absolutely.
One thing that I am kind of looking into the future and seeing is a backpack being used with augmented reality. So we have been at the Meta. Greetings to you guys who listen to us. And
hey, Matan.
Hi, Evan.
And have been showing them actually your backpack, but you know, they were kind of very excited because they don't have a calculation unit inside the device. So right now it's tethered with a cable. It's very similar to a HoloLens, just with a better field of view, right? But doesn't have a calculation unit. So I'm kind of thinking, well, the HoloLens is neat, and it's definitely one of the most advanced devices as a whole. But the amount of calculation power it has is actually quite limited. And when I'm thinking about augmented reality, you need computer vision. You need to understand your surrounding. And when you have latencies through using cloud, you kind of can get into trouble, and having like a really strong machine on your back can actually make augmented reality finally ready, right?
Yeah. You need some kind of calculation unit. I mean, Magic Leap, for example, whatever information is seeping out of there.
I have inside knowledge from Robert Scovel.
Oh yeah, Robert Scovel. I've talked to him a bit as well. I've actually talked to a couple of people that tried the Magic Leap prototype. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about the device seems to be that you only need a small pair of glasses, and the actual computation is going through a it's actually that the headset is being fed through a glass fiber cable, mm-hmm. and that's going through to a calculation unit on your belt, for example. And the crazy amount of money they're raising right now, they're raising billions of dollars.
$1.3 billion
is the level there right now.
Yep.
All that money goes into making that calculation unit, and the crossplay between the two things, the glasses mm-hmm. and the calculation unit, smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm. So it seems like the first prototype they were showing was like this huge device, like a refrigerator sized device. And well, if you want to go out there, you can't carry a refrigerator with you. So you have to make that really small. So there will always be a case like that.
We actually have been trying, when we have been to Silicon Valley, is this weird big box where you would stick your hand in and you would have a glove on that would actually make you feel the environment. And they do it over water pressure. And water can become hot and soft, you know? And they have the same problems. They have a big box that looks very scary. You stick your hand in, it's kind of glove, and you feel stuff. But they want to shrink it and put it on your body. Like, everyone has this problem. That they start with a fridge device, you know, and they want to kind of shrink it.
So wait a second, so I'm going to wear a suit filled with water, and then there's going to be water pressure?
Yeah, they dream of that. Where can
I get it? Shut up and take my money.
Not yet. The Magic Leap is also not on the market.
What was the name of the company? It sounds super interesting. I've never heard of it.
So we put it in the show notes.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Double check, to be honest. I always remember.
It sounds kind of super sci-fi. And I always wonder, I'm the kind of guy that loves these devices, you know? I would love to immerse myself as good as I can. But on the other hand, who's going to buy that? Like,
Uses are quite interesting because you could somehow implement it in engineering simulations, or you could implement it in high fidelity out of home entertainment, so VR arcades. I don't know. The Void could be interested in that sort of device.
Do you want to step into a device that any sweating people before you have used?
That's like a big problem of those devices. I mean, it's still a problem. The hygiene is still a problem of the headsets in general. So,
but that's not solved for anything. But on the other hand, I mean, we kind of want to experience VR even more immersive and more deep. I mean, maybe it's a suit with water pressure, because you can feel hot and coldness.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be the future. Maybe it's something else, right? But we kind of want to be immersed even more.
I know. Have you guys ever had the chance to try galvanic vestibular stimulation? That's the craziest thing ever.
Oh!
GVS, it's...
It means those muscle control...
No, it's the thing...
Balance stimulation.
Exactly. So you put a electronic device behind your ears that is actually... changing the way your inner ear is recepting your balance system
through rotation.
No, they're actually, so there's inside of your inner ear are fluids that are telling you which direction your head is going into. And if you're, for example, if you're running fast, that fluid kind of tends to go forward because that's what your inner ear gets. And what you can do with galvanic vestibular stimulation is you can move the fluids from the outside, more or less, not move the fluids, but move the hairs that are whatever. So what you do essentially is you can steer someone. So you can make that person think that he's falling over. So you change the inner ear that the user has the impression of falling forward. Mm-hmm. And then he takes a step to counterbalance that. And what that essentially means, you can steer a person. Mm-hmm. And what you can also do is put on a VR headset, and then you're essentially solving the locomotion problem because you can give the user the feeling of actually moving through the room by just changing the inner ear. But it's also highly highly experimentative, so you probably shouldn't do it. It's pretty crazy. If you ever get the chance, look that up. You can actually, there's a video of someone steering someone with a remote control.
What's the information bandwidth I can achieve with it? So say, how many informations per second can I... So how many instructions per second?
I'm not too deep into the technical details. So I don't think it's very finely granulated. It's more of a, okay, fall forward, think you go left, think you go right, turn your head, that
because,
kind of thing.
Because, I mean, it's an extremely interesting technology, but if you consider that for virtual reality you need 30 milliseconds or less on the galvanic system level, that's probably have to be even less.
Don't get me wrong, it's also crazy sci-fi and... probably not very good for your health to be playing around with your inner ear balance system all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the kind of things that you could use for crazy contraptions like that.
I mean,
that.
Definitely. And also, I mean, NVIDIA is obviously producing GPUs, and your biggest market, I guess, is gamers and, you know, big cloud stuff. You're also XMG, extreme mobile gaming, right? So, I mean, for,
it's more called now extreme multimedia and gaming, but whatever, it's just XMG.
Sorry, I'm outdated. But I mean, beyond the typical gamers, I mean, you have scientists, you have the whole industrial and medical applications, where maybe the crazy and weird devices that not everyone will buy home are making sense, right? You kind of want to have force feedback. You kind of want to feel the world when you're a surgeon and want to train how to perform a certain action, right? And maybe it's not that crazy to put all those weird devices on people because it's still cheaper and healthier than do it in real life.
But the question still stays there. What's the business model? You know, what's the business case of those devices?
Yeah, and awesomeness.
It is just a small
it's just awesome because we can is the answer.
We can, yeah.
The funny thing is I'm thinking the same thing about treadmills, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, because treadmills is one of those things where people think, hey, you can move around all the time and you don't get entangled by cables.
Yeah.
A treadmill is like an omni where you can strap yourself in and then walk in any direction.
There is also
I like the things, but I really have a doubt about the actual market out there, because
I would just see it on events maybe or in arcades, but not really in
they never sold
home, right?
No,
they
did.
I mean, I don't see the Walker really as a home device, as a end consumer device. I rather see it more in the business industry, because I don't really see now, if you don't have a loft or a huge you know, a huge apartment where you just love to have, like Will has, for instance, he would love to have a huge house, a huge apartment, and have everything which is available for the VR market. But normally at home, the cable of a Vive or of a Oculus is totally fine.
But that's
fair
exactly
enough.
The reason why they never shipped
Oculus,
any of those.
Really, but
any of those what?
They never shipped any of those treadmills. So I actually ordered one back at university from one of the companies, and we have been trying to reach other companies. There is now a third competitor from China that also...
Come on, do some public shaming here. Who didn't deliver?
No.
No, just kidding.
No, they are super awesome guys, and I understand why they're struggling, but...
Yeah, but both of them have the same problem.
You
want
to try. What did you want to use?
So the thing that treadmills are really addressing is the navigation.
Yes.
So when you teleport right now in the virtual world, there is no way that you can keep the understanding of your direction, so that when you're playing a fast game like Raw Data, a lot of people just get lost and sometimes lose the game because they don't understand where they are in the environment.
Well, it's something completely different if you walk this way.
Exactly.
Then you can just completely remember where you came from.
Muscle
and
memory,
what way
basically.
Did you use, what street, what turn.
Which is actually a big topic for us too. So when you develop the simulation of your factory in virtual reality, and out of the sudden, you lose navigation, you know, you lose your orientation.
You should have like a little map in game, like you have for Dota or for, you know, CSGO, where
you
see where you are right now.
It's a bias.
But that's showing you where you are, but not where you're facing, you know. It doesn't really help you with your orientation.
Yeah. We had the study of navigation and how cognitive stress influences it, and we tried to eliminate all of the possible landmarks and, you know, stuff that can actually, you know, make you remember where you come from. A cable would be deadly. That's why the people would, you know, just rotate on a chair. A treadmill would kind of solve the problem, right? You would kind of not know where you're coming from. So, you know, just perform the navigation task and don't have any bias, but it's kind of tricky.
Certainly.
And another part of the treadmills that I actually really like is the VR fitness. So for me, that would make a perfect sense, like what the VR Zoom is doing. They have this bike on which you can drive and then you can steer it a little and then you're... Just like in our medical application, you're motivated to exercise.
Our dear listeners, Mr. Izdebski is sincerely, since roughly half a year, every week coming up with an idea and telling me that he wants to do VR fitness.
Yes, I do. And I meet a lot of people who want to do it.
Okay,
I
first
see
question.
You on a real chat.
Write him
yes.
emails and say him it's a strange idea.
No, it's actually one of those ideas that everyone has. It's like, hey, what could I do with VR? And then it's like, hey, I'm gonna do my exercises.
The skiing, you know, the skiing app from the skiing game.
Ski Jump. It's a lot of fun.
Unicorns. That's so fun.
That's kind of.
And that's
definitely
exercise.
It's exhausting.
It
really is exhausing.
Especially this jumping around part. Where you need to go down and then you need to jump. That's exercise already.
Yeah, I actually like the most the thrill of the fight for exercise.
Pretty good. Space Pirate Trainer is much.
Yeah.
Space Pirate Trainer. Okay.
Yeah.
Space Pirate Trainer is apparently, you know, very sticky game. Like wherever you go, since a year or so, it's everywhere. Always.
Sorry,
yeah,
we are always promoting it.
Yeah.
We're
it's,
big fans
it's
of
fun,
them.
Yeah. It is surprising. It's so simple.
It's pure fun.
Wim
and
the
funny thing is, it's one of the only games that actually motivates you to move your whole body from left to right through the whole tracking volume.
That's
that is,
the point as well.
Holopon is doing a similar thing, but Holopon is turning more.
Yeah.
You're going from side to side a little bit, but you don't have to
like a little ninja.
Do crazy left and right moves that you do with Space Pirate Trainer.
Actually, Holopon is the one game with which I broke the link box of the Vive because I ripped the cable just one too many times.
That happened with us with the Space Pirate Trainer.
I ripped a pair of jeans while putting up a high score in Space Pirate Trainer.
Eric, this as well. That's why we have now sportswear in our office.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, we do.
Obligatory sportswear.
Did you ever write that to Dirk and Wim? They would love the fact that people actually have sports.
We have XMG sportswear.
Sportswear just for Space Pirate Trainer. Yes. To save more pants from being ripped.
Eric was crying the whole day. It was his favorite jeans.
Yeah, it was my favorite pair of jeans as well. Thanks, Dirk. Okay,
but yeah,
coming back
to
more
topic.
To the serious topics.
Those are very serious topics.
I know trousers that rip are a big problem.
And it's also research,
trousers
right?
industry. Listen to us. VR is coming. You have to bring.
Guys, I actually have a crazy theory.
Yeah.
I think virtual reality will change clothing and fashion. At least, not totally, but to a certain degree.
I'm actually serious about this.
So at one point, people will realize, in 20 years down the line, people will realize that some of the haircuts that are very popular right now don't work with virtual reality glasses. And I think
because you have the short hair.
I told you as an intro, it's a crazy theory of mine. But I actually think there's a lot of things like that. For example, the trouser pockets in the 80s got bigger because you needed to carry a Walkman.
Mm.
So actually the trouser pockets became bigger and bigger. In the 70s, it was very posh to have very tight jeans and shit and very small pockets.
And they got also deeper now because of the cell phones because everyone's wearing.
Yeah. So technology is changing fashion.
Of course
to a certain degree. So I think that VR is going to do a similar thing.
Yeah, in 20 years, everyone will walk with a backpack. It will be totally normal.
I think people that
and we need some more pockets from the sides. That worked already for me at Oculus Connect. I was just walking around with a walker the whole day, having my business cards and my cell phone next to me. Okay, that was pretty cool.
Okay, guys, don't you think it's an intermediate step? I mean, with a haircut, I agree. It might happen, but don't you think
cut my hair for VR.
I've actually seen people shaving their hair and saying, yeah, it's just more convenient. Like super hardcore developers that had a very short haircut anyway.
They were like,
why not?
That's a pure devotion.
Well, I know, right?
It's a bit scary.
It is.
So.
But that guy is a trendsetter. Believe me. Putting 5 euros on the table.
Just like your shirt. With little
right?
shaking in the
so
VR.
So my fashion is actually already being changed by VR. I have a ton of virtual reality shirts. So
I have to follow your example.
But maybe it's a business requirement for you.
But
is
I don't
it your contract? Is it standing there? Like you have to wear fashion that is looking hipster?
It's looking very virtual. Yeah, tech savvy. I have to look tech savvy even through my shirts.
No, but I mean, guys and girls and people of the world, do you think that people will really wear a calculation unit on their back for longer than 2 to 3 years? Because VR is pushing GPUs, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure that many of the big GPU manufacturers right now are super happy because, you know, the games haven't been driving that much the need for better and more expensive hardware, right? With more performance than VR does right now, right? Because the VR requirements are just crazy. And not because it's just fancy to have a pixel more here or a little bit anti-aliasing there. No, it's like you really need it.
You have to have 90 FPS every time.
Exactly.
Every single time.
Exactly.
No drop frames, nothing.
So puts a lot of pressure on developers, but also on the GPU manufacturers.
Of course.
Because, I mean, people kind of want to have it mobile. So what do you think? In 2, 3, 4, 5 years, will people really wear a backpack full of a lot of, you know, crazy expensive hardware, or will it really merge somehow into the headset?
Are you talking about AR or VR? That's the question.
I'm seeing both.
What about the people carrying notes with them? They're huge already.
Yeah.
And they carry tablets around just to take pictures and randomly, and they're really convenient to carry around. No.
Those people on concerts having a tablet in front of me and me having to watch the concert entirely on a tablet.
I know, but that happens.
It happens.
You know?
Yeah, people change. The technology is a trend. No, but
exactly. And same with VR. If you want to be immersed all the time.
True, but
I can totally imagine being around all the time connected kind of in VR or AR.
But why would you distinguish, Dominic, between IR and VR?
Because I have a feeling that AR as... VR is more of an entertainment and kind of like, hey, I want to just not think about my job, just relax a little bit, just get my mind off of the daily life. And as in AR, I think is something that you could use potentially all the time. So I could see a very cool device that's looking good, that's giving me all the information that my smartphone gives me right now. And if I never have to look at my smartphone again, I would instantly do it. If I would never have to use a smartphone again and like look down and be like, I would love it too. I mean, you get, imagine walking around the city of Paris, for example, when you're doing that right now and you have a guidebook on your smartphone, you're looking down all the time. Yeah. You're looking down all the time and you don't even see that much of the city. Imagine the same thing with an AR headset, like a virtual tour that's actually showing you where you have to go right in your glasses. So it's right. You just see the path that you're showing going on Champs-Élysées, right over to Louvre. It's all there. You have all the information about the you want. Yeah. And then there's WhatsApp messages coming in. Somebody on Facebook saw that I'm in Paris and he wants to meet up and he gives me his location and my AR device instantly tells me where I need to go. Or instantly finds me a cool cafe that we could meet in. And for that, I think more people would be inclined to carry something around in their pockets or on their belts. Yeah. That's my personal opinion.
I mean, you come around a lot, different fairs, different countries. Yeah. Both of you, also you, Mr. Zdebski, are a little bit on the road.
Yeah, we've met on a couple of different cities. Yeah,
at least two continents.
What's your feeling about the community and where is it going?
In what terms? Just general enthusiasm, because right now for me it's all defined by enthusiasm. So and you actually can see that not only from anecdotal device but from empirical devices,
Selling numbers or
no, not selling numbers, but there's been a couple of surveys of people asking. For example, there was a survey with about 500 CEOs and startup founders and investors, so the whole ecosystem covered. And they were saying that one of the major dangers they see for virtual reality is the lack of content. So that is the biggest one. And then what's interesting, that everyone's talking about that. But the lowest risk everyone sees is actually legal battles. So patent wars, that kind of thing. And that shows you that right now the industry is very young because everyone's just trying to grow the industry. I love that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no one really thinks about the competitors. And you don't want to sue anyone in VR because it's so young. You don't want to make any enemies right now.
That's the image I get from the community.
The image from the community. Everyone's helping each other, and you can also see that from actual surveys. Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic. Absolutely.
I'm recommending the XMG Walker anytime I find.
As well.
Yeah, well, that's so cozy here.
What would we do without media? To be honest, I mean, we are also recommending.
Because otherwise we have to pay those guys.
That's true. I can't.
We don't accept money. We are journalists. We are independent.
Okay.
I will find the check tomorrow in my letter.
But I can say that the XMG Walker is pretty cool, right?
We bought it. I like the device.
We are also recommending other software companies with whom we are working together, you guys, and that's constantly growing. Absolutely, which is fantastic. Everyone is just driven by enthusiasm. And you can definitely feel that, and everyone is, you know, you just see everyone again and again and again at several events, and that's an important question
to follow up here. The last question for today. What's the difference in your opinion between European and US market of virtual reality or ecosystem?
China is a whole different thing. Well, I've seen with my own eyes what everyone's telling you is that the investor space in the US is just so much more interested in putting money into even risky things. So it's way, way easier to get money from investors in Silicon Valley because there's just more money flowing in and out. So that's just where the money is. That's where all the investors are looking for the next Facebook, for the next Google, for the next whatever. So it's way easier to raise funds. And they are, especially in Silicon Valley, they are more advanced in terms of actual economy building, so ecosystem building. They have a ton of meetups. So something like Hackvention, which is a very, very cool event, that's the first time in Hanover. Something like this has been going on for 2 years at least in the States. So one of the fairs they have there is VRLA. It's very similar to this one. They don't have a hackathon on there, but it's like a public/business trade fair.
It's pretty big.
And it started with a 50 people garage meetup. And now it's a 3,000 people exhibition, and they wanna grow way, way more than that. So every time they're doing the next expo, they switching in the Los Angeles Convention Center to a bigger room. Mm. Every time it's a bigger room.
And they also have this VRHackathon.com.
Yeah, VRHackathon.com is also one of the big ones. And that all combined gives you like money floating in, and then people all being at the same place physically is also so helpful. Definitely. That's one of the things that we Europeans definitely have to fight for. And I'm gonna shamelessly plug EUVR here because this is one of the topics. EUVR is a non-profit organization that me, Dan, and Juan, and a couple of other meetup organizers founded, that actually wants to push the envelope for European VR developers, because in Europe we are all very distributed.
Yeah. We have great plans.
We have great, we have huge ambitious plans. Yes. It's always very hard to move at the pace that we want to, because everyone has their own thing to do.
Definitely.
But it's very close to my heart to actually not let the Americans have that crazy of a head start. Because, I mean, you guys have seen it as well. It was probably a rhetoric question because you've seen how crazy fast it's moving. And you've seen it as well, Nika.
Absolutely. Did you? Yeah, of course, I've been there. What's the face about?
We all met at Oculus Connect.
But it was fantastic to see everyone there gathering together. Of course, it's a Connect event, so obviously everyone is connecting and very looking for connection in every kind of business industries. But the cool thing there was that so many Europeans were there. Of course, in Europe, we have the problem that countries are separated, and in each country, there's a big VR group, and of course there are a couple of countries that are bigger and more professional already in VR business, which is certainly Germany, certainly the Netherlands, and definitely also UK and France. But there are other countries also where the meetup organizers are so enthusiastic about and to get the whole industry together in their country. So EUVR is definitely the best project
and
we could get here.
And what's also important in US is that you have those centers of community that don't just happen from time to time, but you have places like Upload where people constantly
in and out.
Yeah.
But who knows?
And that's also what VRBase is trying to do.
Yes.
You know, what Dan is trying to invent
in Amsterdam, Berlin,
and Paris, the VRBase. Mm-hmm. That could be something like Upload just here in Europe.
Yes.
Europe is a huge market.
Definitely.
Yeah, we just have to connect everyone a little bit better.
But you're doing it.
And by the way, it's very cool connecting with you guys.
Yeah, it's very cool connecting with you.
I appreciated this podcast with you.
We're happy to hear that.
So much love
happy to
have
you
right
here.
Now.
Well,
oh,
we wanted to do it all the time, but we all have been all the time drunk. So.
No, busy. Busy is the word.
Sorry,
networking.
Networking. Yeah, we have been networking.
In the US style.
Well, seriously, I also love the stuff that you're doing. I think there's a huge application in the medical field for these kind of things, and we're just dipping our toes right now. So this is all gonna go so far. And I really love the fact that you guys are educating people on.
Mm.
And I heard that you got something really cool coming up for your podcast.
Who knows?
We're just teasing. No, I'm just teasing.
And I will also tease something from you. Do you have a great research program? Because we are kind of also for researchers where you can apply to get a Titan, right?
That's a research program we have,
When we have been at the University of Osnabrück with Chris, we actually got one and it pushed our VR development really a lot.
Okay.
So I just wanted to plug it.
Oh, so you're doing a public
promotion.
Yeah, that's nice.
Cool. No, it's not a promotion.
Nice.
You know?
Not really a promotion. After this podcast, you will just run out of stock.
Yeah. You will get 30,000 applications right now.
I hope so. Well, it's a good problem. It's essentially for guys like you that are doing like using emerging tech to really move the needle in all these different industries that many people aren't really thinking about. That's the thing. Most people are just entertainment. And as much as I love VR games, there's more you can do with VR.
Yeah, there's so much more for educational industries or for medical industries.
Mm-hmm. And I see there is a customer of the backpack.
Pardon me?
I see there is a main customer of your backpack because a gamer, you know, he's alone. But
he's alone.
He's alone, guy.
No, but the gamers, they gather together in arcades, and this is where games, VR games are.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Being
totally,
shown.
Because VR
so
is socializing
is,
gaming
it,
again.
Of course.
It is.
Totally. I really think that.
Not just in arcades.
I mean,
also, you can actually see each other when you.
Yeah.
For instance, when you play multiplayer.
That part is just.
Call of Duty does
that's
it too.
That's kind of common.
It's a total
you don't
game changer.
See each other. There's no.
Okay, yeah.
You could be an avatar and then. Not like the Facebook avatar that was introduced. Like your real body, your real face.
Okay,
that's
okay,
what I'm waiting
okay.
for.
Yeah, once we get there and we have all physical virtual representations that look like us, like 10, 20 years down the line, we're going to do a virtual podcast
again.
Actually, it's not 10, 20 years from now. It's much sooner. There's a company in Canada developing exactly that concept.
Yeah, there's a ton of companies doing exactly that. But it's not so easy, unfortunately. Until we have like a proper representation of this cozy little round that we have, with all the lovey-dovey feelings and all the looks,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
No, I mean like proper interaction on a gestural and also mimic level.
That's something I guess the audience can very much understand, because there are podcasts that we record, you know, over Skype, and there are podcasts that we right now record all together. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that this is more vivid. There's more interaction.
I guess so,
There's like this, unfortunately, I really like, you know, to have everyone from around the world connected, but here you just have a feeling that
you can feel more present.
You feel present, more immersed. Yeah. You're immersed in this realm.
It's like VR.
And with that very present, immersive touch, we would like to thank you for coming to our podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
It was really enjoyable podcast.
What is thank you in Polish, right?
Dziękuję.
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 Good. Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure. It was a fun podcast.
Yeah. And if you, dear listeners, are, you know, not yet subscribed to our podcast, feel free to do so. We have the RSS feed. You can go to SoundCloud. You can rate us on iTunes. We have a Facebook fan page, a Twitter page. Follow us. Share your love and support us through your caring.
I'm gonna like you right now. I'm gonna search for VR podcast.
Goodbye.
Nice.